Father God, it is true that everything that we depend on other than you will fail us. Lord, you are the only true constant. You are our only true peace. So we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and be our peace, be our joy, be our rock, Lord, that we stand on. Be with Jimmy as he comes and preaches from the book of Romans. We're eager to hear what you have to say to us. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
From Romans chapter 8. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of the Lord.
I know it's time. Good morning to the proud, the few, the brave. You made it here on this Sunday morning. I know I was out shoveling snow at 6:15 this morning to get here, and it was awesome time. But hey, today we're doing something a little different. As you've noticed, it's been a rough week here at the church. As we announced last week, Andy Janowski was fighting COVID. He lost his battle and he died on Wednesday. And man, it's just been a tough week. It's been a tough week of grief, of tears, and of frustration, of a bunch of different things. And so what we thought we'd do today is just, we're going to mix it up a little bit. We're going to go a little bit different direction than what we intended to do. If you'll turn with me, we're gonna dive into Romans 16 today. 16 is this doxology. It's a statement of praise to the Lord for all that he is and all that he has done. In fact, I would say this right here is the summary of all the whole entire letter to the Romans. And Paul is probably writing from the Corinthians church. In fact, he's going to send Phoebe to take it to the Roman church so that they can see and hear of the goodness of God by through the grace of Jesus Christ. And I thought this was extremely applicable for us today as we wade through this season together and wade through this moment, both of rejoicing in a life, but also mourning a death. And so read with me Romans 16, 25 through 27. It says, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret from long ages but now has been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen." We were actually going to use this passage as the capstone to this little series that we're going through called The Prayers of Paul. In the prayers of Paul, what we were hoping to do is see God, by his grace, both teach us to pray and what it means for us to live as believers in this world. And really, this is really a great summary of even as we think about our friend and our brother Andy today. I think it's a great way for us to kick off just both our mourning and sit in our mourning, but also exalt in the grace of God in this man that we knew and loved. And so we're going to start off here in verse 25, where it says, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages." Now to him who is able to strengthen you. And he wanted the Roman church here to be strengthened. He wanted them to be strong. But again, when we typically think of strength, we think of picking ourselves up by the bootstraps and making it through, and I can do this, and I'm better, and I'm okay. Paul's not talking about that here. He's talking about this very unique kind of strength that is only God-given. It's a strength to endure trials. Honestly, we don't like this kind of strength a lot because it means we're going through something hard. We're going through something complicated. But it's a strength that that passes all understanding in truth and in reality. It's a strength that promises that he will complete what he has began. It's a strength that promises that God is in control and that he is good. Philippians 1:6, it says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." So as we mourn and as we grieve, it's God's strength that gets us through moments that seem like we are at our most broken, our most painful. The moments where we just think, how do we go from this day to the next? But the beauty of the gospel is that there is hope and there is strength that is given by God for a moment such as this. That we are not left alone to just wonder how and why and to be kind of in the depths of despair, because we know we have a God who is right in the midst of all of these things and is strengthening us for the day ahead. One thing we always need to talk about when we come to a moment like this is that grief in a moment of pain, in a moment of suffering, is strength. Avoidance is fear. Grief is strength and avoidance is fear. I know this week, we have a unique job here at the church. We get the phone calls. We get in some ways, we get kind of the best of life and we get the hardest of life. And so in the midst of these things, there's two ways you can go. You can either clam up and just, I'm going to avoid the moment and get in the corner and huddle up in a ball and just want to do nothing. Or you can kind of do this adjust, adapt, overcome, where I'm not going to let this thing bother me. And I have to make it through and I have to do it. But God doesn't call us to either one of those things, but he calls us to this third way of the gospel that is the strength of God, which he calls the church to have strength and to grieve, to address what we feel, to know what we feel, and to trust the Lord with those things. To lay our hearts before God and go, God, I am broken. I am in pain. I don't know what to do. I don't know why things are happening. I don't know what's going on. But God enters into those moments with us and he gives us a comfort that surpasses all understanding. And many times, in fact, in Scripture, when we talk about praying for the comfort of God, we're actually praying the same thing that we see here, strength. It's not just a comfort of feelings, but it's God upholding us by the power of his might. And this is what God does by his grace, and this is what strength means in our endurance of trials. And so, just like we need to have strength, we need to have hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope." And so not only are we strengthened by the Lord, but we are given a hope that is far away, above and beyond any of the hopes of this world, because our hope is eternal and everlasting, never breaking down. And so when we think about the loss of our brother in this moment, we don't lose as though we will never see him again or it's a final moment in time, but it's one where we go, hey, this happened and this is terror. Death is awful. Death is a result of sin in the world, but we have hope because we have a Savior who has overcome the grave. We have a Savior who he himself was dead, but by the power and this very power of God that we're talking about, raised him from the dead to sit at the right hand of the Father in heaven. So that way, when we die, because it's inevitable, when we die, we have a Savior who will one day raise us up again. And so we can look around and go, hey, there is still hope in the midst of suffering, in the midst of death, because we have a Savior who has overcome these things. And our strength and hope come in and from Jesus Christ. Why, even according to this passage? According to my gospel. We have strength and hope because of this gospel, because of this God that we so love. The gospel is the good news of who Jesus is and what he has accomplished. The plan of redemption that runs throughout all of human history to the glory of God. And this gospel and this strength that he's talking about is kind of like the bookend. In fact, this verse is kind of the bookend to what was the beginning in Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." And here comes the same word as the strength that we heard. "For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and to also the Greek. The gospel is power, it is strength, and isn't it everything that Andy ever believed in? If you've known Andy at any time, like if you go to lunch with Andy, if you went to lunch with Andy ever, you would sit down with him and he would talk about what Jesus is doing in his life for 95% of the time. You would get to say words about 5% of the rest of the time, right? It was awesome. It was awesome. It was both frustrating and awesome. And even think about it, even as he's leading up here on stage, for some of us, we loved it when he would get up here and wax eloquently in between songs, and you know, he would talk for about 5 minutes and kind of do like pre-sermonettes in between every song, describe what he's talking about, describe what God's doing. And for me, I'm sitting in the front row going, stop talking, man. Like, we had a conversation one time about, hey, could you just talk a little bit less? And he goes, Jimmy, if I talk less, the rocks will cry out. The rocks will cry out. And I'm like, no, they won't, bro. But okay, whatever, you do. But it's, and again, Andy was not perfect. But he was a man that loved Jesus, and Jesus loved him, and was doing mighty things in strengthening him and moving him. And in fact, one of the last texts that he sent to several of us last Tuesday before was it last Monday? So it was a while ago, but he sent this text, and he said, I used to be cool. I ain't got a shred of dignity left. He says something that I just won't mention because this is on video. Nurse is cleaning me up, blah, blah, blah. There's another great lesson to learn. Pride and dignity dig in and cause all kinds of silliness. I'm ready to root out all things disloyal. I ain't going to go to my grave clinging to the silliness of pride. Look at Christ, stripped naked in utter humiliation, and yet that's the guy that's coming on a white horse with fire in his eyes and a sword in his teeth. He's coming back to set things right. King of kings, every knee will bow. And I'm on my knees today, bowing before him, my King of kings. His justice is on the way. He knew where his hope, he knew where his strength was found. It's in the gospel that Paul spoke of here. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mercy that was kept secret for long ages, but now has been disclosed through prophetic writings and has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. So it's the strength of this gospel is now revealed, and there is nothing that Andy, or really we, should long to do more than to proclaim the excellencies of what Jesus has done, not just in his incarnation, but in his eternalness. From beginning to end, the plan of revelation of the good news that God was coming to save his people by his grace. And he did so, and he did this for Andy, and he wanted to proclaim it to the world. I mean, even if you think about it, it was fascinating to look at the responses to the Durango Herald article that came out. Like, people from all walks of life, or even to look at who donated to the GoFundMe page for Linda. By the way, if you didn't know, Robert Gerst actually set up a GoFundMe page for Linda Janowski to help with medical expenses. If you want to give to that, please do. It's online. You can find it in the letter we sent out this week. But Andy's whole longing was that people would know Jesus, that they would come into contact. He would go on camping trips with people that didn't know Jesus because he had a relationship with them and he wanted them to know. You have people that live in France that when they would go as the high rollers to France and do their music tours for country music, which country music is or is not real music, I don't know. But nevertheless, they went and did their country music in France, and Andy would share the gospel with all the people there and impacted them in such a way that it really has changed their life and it has brought them closer. And Andy himself was just such kind of a greater and bigger than life character that he would have people's ears because of the way he loved and cared for every single person that he came in contact with. I mean, that was the thing that I think we all recognize. That was a funeral this past, I guess, a year and a half ago now or so, and it was talking about this woman who passed away, and the pastor gets up and goes, One thing I recognized is that, you know, as I was interviewing people or we were just talking with folks, that this person had 700 best friends. I thought I was her best friend, but apparently there were 700 other people that thought the same thing. Andy was just the same way, wasn't he? You were his best friend in that moment. And there was nothing that took that away. And it was because he wanted and he couldn't help but love you, care for you, honestly, in some ways like the Lord does, and then wanted to proclaim to you that God is good. Man, what an awesome testimony. And he did that to the nations. One of the first things I got on Wednesday after everybody started finding out that Andy had passed was this video of him in Nicaragua playing just music on the side and everybody just kind of sitting around enjoying it. And the text said, this is one of my favorite moments of Andy. It's because his love and his goal was to share the love of Christ in everything he did, in every way that he did. And just like Paul, his hope was that the nations would know the glory of God. Man, isn't there something that we can learn? Isn't that something we should long to be? As individuals, as a church, that people around us would know the gospel from Genesis to Revelation, the good news of who Jesus is and his redeeming us. This is the glory of the gospel. This is the beauty of the gospel. And Andy loved to take it to the nations just like Paul did. He loved to feel the thrill of the gospel. He loved to feel the thrill of being caught up in the movement of the gospel to save people. God's plan throughout all history to use the church, and God used him in mighty ways that people would know him. And Paul's saying the same thing. This is the glory, the strength of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we get to take to all the nations for the glory of God. It's not just something to learn, but it's something to be caught up in. And so may that be said of us too. May it be said that we are caught up in the missions work of Jesus, both here in our own families, in our own neighborhoods, in our own town, and around the world. And again, while Andy was not perfect, we saw him do these things and we saw him get caught up in the love and grace of God for him that he spread to the world around him, right? We saw that every day in everything that he did. But not only that, in Romans 16:26, it says, but has now been disclosed, so the gospel has now been disclosed through the prophetic writings, has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. We typically don't like that word obedience, but obedience is something that when the gospel takes hold of us, Jesus takes hold of us, and he changes us to become servants of God, servants of righteousness, who live fruitful lives of righteousness. And we can't help it. And again, here's another great example. How many of you watched the Easter service that was online here at the church? None of you. So in the Easter service, if you didn't know, Andy was he helped lead that. Actually, I think he led it by himself. Well, he came in that day. And he just thought he had it. It was taken care of, that he knew all the songs. He gets up and starts playing. He messed up 4 times in a row. We had to start recording 3 or 4 times because he thought he had it. He thought he had it. He had some pride there. But then he realized in that moment, I don't have this, as he kept messing up. And me and John are just sitting here going, Andy, come on, bud. We got to make it through this. But you know what? That was the last time he did that. The Lord brought about the obedience of faith. He came prepared from then on. And while that kind of probably sounds like a small thing, I saw God at work in Andy's life to bring about the obedience of faith time after time after time through 4 years. Whether it's from, hey, I don't know if I want to join the worship team, to, you know what, I was talking to this guy in France who was, for some reason, didn't believe in Jesus, but was playing David Crowder on his radio, heard some of the praise songs, and was taken away by it. And so now I've started listening to that, some of it, and man, God's in those things just as much as he's in the hymns. And so then he took steps of faith, steps of obedience to trust the Lord, and God did mighty things in him and through him. because the gospel transformed his life, and he became obedient to the goodness of God in him. And he found great joy. And in some ways, man, this week, one of the things I've just been reflecting on, he continuously took obedient step after obedient step to where he became one of the pastors and sergeant community church in Monta Vista, correct? Colorado, sort of. It's close enough. And when he did that, I mean, it's like the Lord just said, hey, man, you were obedient to the end. As 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Man, he was obedient literally to the point where the Lord was like, hey, you're done. You're done. You're done. And Paul ends our passage right here where he says, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. But for us, right, Andy might have been obedient to the end, and he finished his race, and he was faithful to finish his race, and he trusted God in that race. But, man, in some ways, man, we're left here. We're left here kind of contemplating what is going on. Why did this happen? When I look at Andy's life, it just seems like he was just starting to take off. God had so much ministry for him to accomplish. It seemed like he was accomplishing. You saw a little church, a sergeant community church that God sent him to, that was now had this guy at the helm who loved this church. He was being fruitful in ministry, and we were able to benefit from the fruit of God's work in him here. But now he has taken him, and here in this passage it says, again, to the only wise God. Does this often feel wise to us? Does really the death of someone who we feel like is just really beginning, who's just really taking off, who has so much in front of it doesn't feel wise to me. The problem is it's not my wisdom that matters, but it's the wisdom of God, right? If you think about it, like Job, Job was a righteous man, and Satan came in and goes, hey, let me have your servant Job, and God goes, hey, take him away. And Job's wondering, like, why are you doing this to me, God? What have I done? And what does God do? He doesn't answer his why, but he shows him himself. And so in the wisdom of God, what we ask is the question why, don't we? Why, God? Why would you do this? The problem is when we ask why, and really why is not a bad question, because really it's a question of wisdom, right? I ask why because I want to know God, why were you doing this? Like, why did this happen? Why? How did this lead to this? Or why did this go from here to there? No, that's not the question to even think about or ask, but it's a result of that we were made in the image of a wise God. Therefore, there's something within us that begs the question of why, but now God is not going, hey, why? Ask the question why, but he's saying, I am here and I am enough, is what he is saying. Will you trust me when you don't know why? This is a hard thing for us, because in the answer and the question of why, we want control. Because if I just know why, then I can understand, and it fits me better, it feels better. It helps me to have some sort of grasp on a situation that I don't understand. But for how many of us in life, man, things happen and we don't know why. It's kind of thing after thing after thing, isn't it? But then 10 years from now, we look back and we go, oh, I see. I understand. I still don't quite get it, but I understand now. I see why God did something, because I was able to see what he was doing. And so what I would ask of us is that as we think about a wise God who really, in a sense, would allow Andy to pass from this world to now be around the throne worshiping with all of the saints for all the time, saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, right? As he is doing that, we have to trust a wise and loving God that he has something in the midst of this that we can see him at work. And to be honest, I don't think the work of Andy Janowski is done. I mean, even just looking at the responses to some of these things that I've been talking about, a Facebook article, the Durango Herald article, you just see people beginning to reflect on the man that was Andy and the work of God in his life, the touch that he had, the reason for the hope that he was in him. We have an opportunity now as believers to even rethink how we view this moment in time, because God has maybe an opportunity for ministry in this for us that may not have existed before. And so do not lose heart because God has something going on. We can't necessarily see it, but we know it is true because he's done it for all of time. And then for us too, I think another thing we need to think about, Psalm 90:12, it says, "So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. We need God's wisdom to number our days so that way we can even contemplate how today and tomorrow affect eternity. How do we live in the wisdom of God for this moment of not knowing why, but with a view to eternity? So as this one man says, he says, "Teach me to live with the reality of my death so that I can live in the gladness of your love." We need the wisdom of God, and we need to even reflect on our own death. So maybe if anything else, this gives us an opportunity to go, hey, I too one day will pass from this world. It might not be today, it might be today. But from now until the end of time, I want to walk in the wisdom and love of God and experience this life and give of myself that God, that maybe I, to the glory of your name, would have some just sort of hand in a neighbor coming to faith, a hope that was unseen becoming true, a love that was lost, may it be found. And so may we think on death and may we think on life, not with one that of finality, because as Christians, we believe that death isn't final, but it's just the beginning. I mean, even if you think about the Bible begins with creation, then the climax is actually a recreation in the death of Christ, which then goes on into eternity. So it doesn't go how our typical world goes. It doesn't go beginning, climax, end. It goes beginning, climax, beginning. And Andy in himself is living in the reality of this, and we get to do that as well, day in and day out, both as we remember and we dwell upon the wisdom of God, as we number our days, and even as we just think of our friend, as we think of our brother. Romans 16:27, it says, "To the only wise God be glory forever and ever through Jesus Christ. Amen." The end of Andy, the desire, greatest desire of Andy was to see God glorified in him, wasn't it? I mean, these two guys, the Lloyds over here who are playing on stage, they have these Blood Brothers shirts on. Andy started this little biking group that went on Wednesday evenings and then some Saturday mornings. And the whole idea was to get a bunch of guys together, have a time of fellowship, have a little bit of a devotion, but primarily to have a good time. Andy used these moments to disciple teenagers and other men that are in our congregation to teach them and to reassure them both in God's love for them and God's purpose for them. And he did this in extraordinary ways, and this was just one. And he made everybody these horribly awesome t-shirts that were not the most attractive things, but it galvanized people around, not just around mountain biking, but around the Lord. And he didn't just do it for himself, but he did it, honestly, that each one of us who were a part of these rides would be able to see the glory of God in every pedal we took. It was an awesome moment, and it was for the glory of God. And he lived like that to his last day. Man, what an amazing testimony it is for us. What an amazing kind of, not We don't want to be Andy, but we want to be who God has made us to be to his great glory, and he is an example for us of what it can look like when we do that, because his reach was so great, and the testimony of his love and what God had done in him so fruitful. So everything he did was exactly what this passage was. He was strengthened by the gospel. He loved to preach the gospel. He loved to take the gospel to the nations. He did it for the glory of God, and he trusted a wise God. And so may that really be said of us. And the last thing that was in the text that he sent to me, it says, as he was saying, every knee will bow, and I am on my knees today, bowing before him, my King of Kings. His justice is on the way. And then this is one part that I hadn't seen in a couple, but it says, looking towards the hills. And he's not just looking towards the hills today, as we remember him. But he's looking out the hills of glory, the throne of glory. He's with his glorious Savior where he really always wanted to be. His greatest and favorite place. And you know, like, he loved to sing up here. And today he's sitting around the throne with all of the saints for all of time, worshiping the Lord God. And they're probably singing in his country twang, right? One of the songs that he always sung, it has Man of Sorrows, right? Man, I mean, he'd start off with the country. He is doing that around the throne today. And not only that, but his soul is completely satisfied in this moment. And so as we mourn and as we grieve today, let's take great hope that this man was both a great example to us, but also a broken, a sinful man, but one who had a perfect Savior, who we don't want to be like, but we have a Savior who can mold us, who can shape us, and who can give us the experience that he gave Andy to glorify him now and forevermore. So may we dive into what that means for each of us today. May we rest in the Savior's love as Andy rested in his Savior's love. And may we hope with a hope that passes all understanding, a hope that will not fail, and a hope that does not end in the grave but ends around a throne, worshiping the God who has loved us so much to send a Savior to die a death we deserve to die, to live a life we couldn't live, and to raise again, defeating Satan, sin, and death for us. May he be the one we worship, and may he be the one we live for. Father, we love you, and we thank you for today. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your kindness to us. We pray, we thank you for our brother. We thank you for his love for you. We thank you for the grace that was in him that we got to see. We thank you for your mighty work to save him, to transform him, to bring about the obedience of faith in him, to drive in him this desire to make your name known. And God, may those characteristics be true of us. May you transform our hearts. May you strengthen us with your great strength. May you drive deeply into us the gospel of your grace. May you motivate us to proclaim the good news of who you are to a world around us that's dead and dying. May we rejoice in the glory of your name that we speak of today, that Andy so often proclaimed. And so, God, today we grieve, but we grieve as those with hope. And may we rejoice that our brother is with you, that he is now altogether perfectly satisfied. And may we together pursue those ends as well. We pray these things in your wonderful and beautiful name, Jesus. Amen.
You are love, you bring light to 3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time.
Great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Its grip on me, you have broken it. passion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose in conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures.
Chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and He will dwell with him, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And He who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also He said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true."
God sent His Son, They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the assurance this child can face uncertain days, because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross that river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Father God, you're good. Lord, we confess, I confess I miss my brother Andy quite a lot. But I thank you that though his lungs here could no longer function, he is with you. He is in perfection, and he can sing to you and praise you in perfection. God, for those of us here, I pray that we would live out this mission of bringing the hope of the gospel to those around us. Lord, that we would make it our goal to surrender to you daily, that we would find you in your word, that we would praise you, that we'd proclaim you. And Lord, that we would keep our prize in mind. Jesus, that is you, that one day we will be before your throne where you will say, well done, good and faithful servant. That is why we're alive. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Thanks, you guys. We'll see you next week.